you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. This is God's Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How do you introduce someone? We all know people that don't know each other. And so we naturally should make introductions. But sometimes we might be introducing ourselves and not really know the one we're talking to even after they give us their name. I've had many embarrassments in my life. Many times when I behaved stupidly, sometimes just in ignorance, sometimes I should have known better. One such case, which I'll let you decide whether it was just ignorance or whether it was an inexcusable ignorance, was in the late 1980s when my wife and I had taken our eldest son to Chicago for surgery at Children's Hospital. As we drove up to the hotel where we were staying, I saw a couple of large, very nice buses and big guys getting off, wearing athletic type jumpsuits or whatever you call them, the sort of thing you wear over your uniform. And they're all getting off this bus and they're going into the hotel ahead of us while we're going to try and find a place to park. I said to my family, I believe that's a professional sports team. See, I'm savvy. I can figure these things out, even though I am a person who has never really been very interested in sports. And so when I went inside, I asked, after we checked in, asked the gentleman behind the desk, was that a professional sports team that came in? He said, yes, that was the Detroit Pistons. Now, at this time, totally unbeknownst to me, the Detroit Pistons were already the world champions in Chicago to play the Bulls, who had not yet learned how to beat them. Okay? So I thought, well, that's nice. I mean, I'd heard of the Detroit Pistons, but that was it. Okay? I had no idea the rankings, no idea the players. We got our key, we went up to the room, I got folks checked in, and then I did as I am wont to do, which is to say, I'll be back in a while. Because I tend to walk, I'm restless, ADHD. It's increasingly becoming just ADD. I'm not as hyper as I used to be. I don't have the energy I used to have. But I said to the family, I'll be back, and I went downstairs, and I saw an inordinately tall white man in the gift shop. So I thought, Paul would probably like to have his autograph. And so I went up to him and I said, excuse me, are you one of the players? I thought that was a reasonable question. You don't want to just assume that because a white guy is tall, he plays on a sports team. But I wanted to verify before I asked for his autograph. And he said, yes, I'm Bill Ambeers. And at this point, I'm supposed to go, oh, wow, I can't believe it. And I didn't do that because I thought, well, okay, so he's on the team. And I said, my son is going to be having surgery tomorrow at Children's Hospital, and I was wondering if you'd be kind enough to sign an autograph for him. And he said, he looked at me like, you know, is this just a ploy to get an autograph? I mean, you come up here asking if I'm on the team. You know who I am, don't you? But I don't know what he was thinking. I'm just imagining. He looked at me, and he signed his name. And I took it, and I, feeling very pleased that I'd gotten an autograph for my son, went back and got on the elevator. Well, before the doors could close, there were these four black guys who walked up. They weren't as tall, at least they didn't seem to me to be as tall as Bill. But they were big enough that they might have game. And, you know, if you got a good vertical leap, you know, you can go places. But I asked them as they're getting on. I saw as they were about to get into the elevator that at least one of them waved toward Bill and he waved toward them. And so I thought, okay, I'm in luck. And I said, after they got on, the door closed, I said, are you guys on the team also? And they kind of looked at each other and they said, yeah. And I said, well, my son is having surgery at Children's Hospital tomorrow, and I was wondering if you'd be kind enough to sign an autograph. And I showed them the card that had Bill's signature on it, and they said, sure. And so they all signed the card. And again, I'm sure they thought that I would recognize at least one of their names, like Isaiah Thomas, okay? It was the starting lineup of the team. I had just gotten the signature of the starting five of the world champion Detroit Pistons. Understand? And I looked at it, and here was my one thought in that moment. Oh, that poor guy's mom didn't know how to spell Isaiah. So, you know, I thanked them. And I got off at my floor, and they went to theirs, and I went to the room, and I handed Paul the card. I said, I met some of the players downstairs, and handed him the card. And, of course, he freaked out because he knew exactly who that was. He knew exactly. You met Isaiah Thomas? This is the starting lineup. They're the world champions. He was so excited. It's great. Now, let me just tell you something. All around the world, there are going to be people celebrating Christmas who have no idea who Jesus is. And tragically, in churches, there are going to be people celebrating Christmas who have no real understanding of who Jesus is. So John, writing the fourth gospel, is introducing his Lord and Savior, who is also his best friend. Of all the disciples, as he makes clear in John's gospel, he's the disciple that Jesus loved. How'd you like to introduce yourself? Well, you know, Jesus, of course, loves the whole world, but me, I'm kind of special. John is going to introduce Jesus. And when he goes to introduce Jesus, there's a lot he wants us to know. But what is the first thing you need to know about Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You need to know that this man that I'm going to introduce you to is God. He's not just close to God, spent time with God, is a lot like God. He's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. God became a man. That is absolutely without precedent, absolutely without subsequent example. He is the unique Son of God. That's the first thing you need to know.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised he will.
And so, in chapter 3, verse 16, John's continuing this theme. John 3, 16 through 18, and verse 36. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. This is what John's gospel is about. This is what our message is about. This is what Christmas is about. God became one of us so that we could be saved. Because apart from Jesus, there is no salvation. In John 14, Jesus will say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus isn't a way to God. Jesus is the only way to God. If you are trusting in him, you are already saved. If you are not trusting in him, you are under the wrath of God. Those are the only two alternatives. Tragically, most people, according to Jesus, are on the road that leads to destruction. Most people are on the road that leads to destruction. Why? Because most people are not trusting in Jesus. In some cases, it's because they've never heard. Is it possible that you could live in Ware's Valley with all the churches dotted around here? These churches are close enough together that we could spit on each other. Hopefully we won't. But I mean, there are churches all over the place. You stay at a hotel in the United States, if it's a decent hotel, it almost always has a Bible in the nightstand. Thank you, Gideon's. If you turn on the television, you might encounter someone with artificial hair telling you that God loves you. You know, surely in this country, in this state, in this community, everybody's heard about Jesus. Okay. But it's about like me with the Detroit Pistons. I met them. I got an autograph. Do I know Isaiah Thomas? Uh-uh. No. I didn't even know who he was when I met him. There are tons and tons and tons and tons of people who don't know Jesus, even though they've heard his name. Did I know him after I got up to the room with his autograph and my son told me this is the starting lineup? No. I knew about them. I had just learned some things about them. I still didn't know them. I still don't know them. That was a long time ago. I still don't know them. But you know what? It's possible for me never to know them and still go to heaven when I die. It's not possible to not know Jesus and go to heaven when you die. John's gospel walks us through how these guys came to know what he's already told us in the opening verses. And at the end of John's gospel, in chapter 20, take a quick look at it. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 28. Thomas has just encountered the risen Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." He worshiped Jesus. "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John says, I've recorded for you a series of signs that Jesus did in order to demonstrate who he is. It's so that you will believe, that you will trust. The word there is not intellectual belief. It's an obedient faith that is based on a relational trust. That is the faith that changes you from the inside out. That faith comes from God. I want to ask you, are you really trusting in Jesus? Well, I know I should. I think I should. I kind of do. I hope so. Well, let me ask you to sort of take a little diagnostic test, okay? If you want to know whether or not you're really trusting him, here's a good way to figure it out. Who is the focus of your holiday festivities? What? If you're going to a party for someone, you ought to know who the party's for. So as we celebrate the birth of Christ, who's the focus at your house? What is the purpose of your gift giving. Who gets the most gifts? Well, I think in our case it would be the grandkids, because we've got more grandkids than we do children. And so I guess, you know, when it's shopping time, we're thinking more about the grandkids, because Christmas really is about the children. No, it's not. Christmas is about Jesus. Okay? So every year in our family, just a little parenting tip, when the kids were coming down the stairs, we'd have them stop on the stairs before they saw the gifts under the tree, and we'd say, let's sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Because we wanted to remind them before they went in there where the gifts were, that there was one gift that changed everything for all of us. And so we'd sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Okay, well, that's nice. And then you went in and got the real gifts, right? Well, we went in and we got material gifts. Yes, it was nice. We were, I think, pretty generous parents. But then we would have a discussion with the kids about what are we going to give to Jesus this year? And we would decide as a family what we were going to give to Jesus. And it was different every year. But the whole idea is we're celebrating his birthday. Well, then let's give to Jesus. What can we possibly give to Jesus? Are you kidding? I mean, he's not into Tonka trucks or whatever I was into as a kid. Let me just tell you, you can't give Jesus that kind of thing. But you could give a Tonka truck to somebody who's not going to get anything like that. And if you bless poor people with material things in Jesus' name, that's a gift to Jesus. But let me tell you something. If all they get is a Tonka truck or a talking doll or whatever else, and they don't get the gospel, all you've done is give them a more comfortable ride to hell. The best thing you can do for those in need is to use the way you serve them as an opportunity to build a relationship so that you can tell them the news that everybody needs to hear. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. God became a man so that he could go to the cross and take the punishment we deserve for our sins so that you and I don't have to go to hell for our sins. He came to save. He came so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. That's good news. That's the message we are entrusted with. Does it occur to you that if you're really celebrating Jesus' birthday, the focus ought to be on Jesus? The giving ought to be targeted so that he's getting more than even the grandkids. Does it occur to you that trusting Jesus is not about saying a few words or showing up at church? Trusting Jesus is about saying, okay, God, you're in charge. I believe that you came to save me, and I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And I will, by your grace, learn more and more to obey you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.